the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido, Jeff Blackwell, and Karen Cotton in production. Hey, guys.
Good morning. Good morning. Gabby, you're in your new home away from home at Loyola. Looking great.
I love
there.
Being here. It looks good. Thank you to Albert DuPont, who's also here early, and he's pushing buttons and cameras and making us all look great.
That's right. You're just, I'm loving your Monday, Wednesday, Friday gig. It looks so fancy.
Me too.
Let's start with prayer. Today is the Feast of St. Louis, King of France. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who brought St. Louis from the cares of earthly rule to the glory of heavenly realm, grant, we pray, through his intercession, that by fulfilling our duties on earth, we may seek out your eternal kingdom. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Louis, King of France, pray for us.
Pray for us. Wonderful. We're joined by Dina Dow. She will talk to us in just a few more minutes with a bunch of stuff happening in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. It's so great to have events coming in, whether they're virtual or in person or half and half. I'm very excited to talk to Dina. She's with the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. We're also joined with author Jennifer Hubbard. She's joined us on the morning show before to talk about a really powerful book that she wrote called Finding Sanctuary, How the Wild Work of Peace Restored the Heart of a Sandy Hook Mother. So how she found her peace in Christ through such a very dark time in her life and the life of many parents and children over during this time. Anthony Ryan with Ignatius Press joins us, and he's talking about Thérèse of Lisieux, Living on Love. This is a book with 100, I believe it's over 150 pictures. I love this kind of stuff.
It's so cool to me to have, you know, a saint of our time, a modern day saint that we're able to really see. And we're so fortunate we have Mother Teresa and Pope John Paul and so many that we can really see a day in the life of. So it'll be fun to talk to the publisher and find out more about that amazing book. I just jumped into it yesterday, and she is just beautiful, beautiful saint for our time. So Gabby, it is August in South Louisiana along the Gulf Coast, and you know what that means, right?
It's frizzy hair, warm, hot, humid, muggy.
High humidity, warm temperatures, and some afternoons, you know, showers and thunderstorms likely. So today is the same old, right, for summer. So showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly afternoon. There'll be increasing clouds with highs near the low 90s in all of our listening area. It is fair and 73 in Baton Rouge, 84 in New Orleans, 77 in Mandeville, and 79 in Bay St. Louis. So we have a higher percentage chance of rain as the week kind of continues. But it's so interesting. David and I were talking this morning. It stormed at his house, and as the crow flies, I'm probably 2 miles away, and we got nothing. So, and then my son's so high weird. School is maybe another 2 miles away, and he said it poured. So it's just one of those. It's just our summer weather pattern. So bring an umbrella and stay cool.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. We have the gospel and gospel reflection coming up right after the break. It's 7:05 on Wake Up.
Good morning. Today's gospel comes to us from Matthew chapter 23. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and every kind of filth. Even so, on the outside you appear righteous, but inside you are filled with hypocrisy and evil-doing. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the memorials of the righteous, and you say, 'If we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have joined them in shedding the prophets' blood.' Thus you bear witness against yourselves that you are the children of those who murdered the prophets. Now fill up what your ancestors measured out." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Today's gospel focuses on the sixth and seventh woes Jesus uttered against the scribes and Pharisees. Hypocrisy is the essence of what Jesus is here condemning. In fact, Jesus explicitly calls them hypocrites, that is, men who outwardly present themselves as righteous, but within and in their hidden behaviors, they are filled with iniquity. In its relationship to the truth, hypocrisy is so disfiguring and all-pervasive that the word not only means the disorder in a general clinical way, but it defines the very context of the person himself. Everything about the hypocrite is transmitted into lies and pretense. One scholar describes the hypocrite this way: where God at your creation placed a throbbing human heart, you have transplanted a metallic suffering of wires and circuits instead of blood. What runs in your veins is cleaning fluid. A look at the evolution of the Greek word for hypocrisy is instructive, because today the word is incorrectly applied to anyone who sins. Initially, hypocrisy meant little more than a reply or an answer. Gradually, it became associated with the delivery of lines in a play. It came to mean to play a part on the stage, or simply to be an actor. As the word returned to ordinary life, it evolved to designate a pretender or a dissembler, one who embodied a role and represented a reality that was not really his. In the early Christian context, hypocrisy came to mean Pharisaical behavior within the church. A hypocrite was a person who considered himself justified before God and men, and therefore morally and socially superior to the rest of mankind, simply on the basis of his meticulous external observance of some religious practices. Thus, at the heart of his pretense is self-deceit, which is one reason it is so dangerous. Embedded within is also a terrible distorted understanding of God. God does not expect us to turn ourselves single-handedly into superhumans who leave all our flaws and sinfulness behind. Instead, God wants us to face squarely the truth of what we are and what we have done as we face our sinfulness and imperfections, while humbly turning to Him for pardon and the help we so desperately need. And so, let our admission be, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for this morning's gospel and gospel reflection. It is 7:11. Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Community Radio. You're listening to Wake Up. What a beautiful gospel, and such a great reminder of, you know, it's not just what's on the outside, right? We say that all the time, but what's on the inside. It's a great, great opportunity to stop and think about what's on the inside, right? We appear righteous, but inside we could be filled with hypocrisy. So something to think about. I appreciate Jimmy's thoughts on that gospel. Gabby, we have some fun things coming up in our listening area. And I don't know if you have been to Rome and seen the Sistine Chapel. It is amazing. The work of Michelangelo is just, you just stand there with your mouth open, right? But your head back because you're looking at the ceiling. Well, if you're in the Baton Rouge area or would like to plan a little day trip to Baton Rouge, Michelangelo, A Different View, is coming to Baton Rouge in our Raising Canes River Center. And it's been rescheduled twice, so we're hopeful that it will stay. It will be here the whole month of September, so the 1st through the 30th. And this is an exhibit of photo mechanically reproduced copies of the Sistine Chapel. So it's interesting, you know, when you're in the Sistine Chapel, you're walking around with your head tilted all the way back so you can see the amazing creation story, and it's gorgeous. But this, you actually will be walking on it. It's on the floor. It's on the ground.
Oh,
so you don't have to look up to see the Sistine Chapel. The pieces will be on the ground, so you can walk around these gigantic masterpieces, and you're given this unique or different view of Michelangelo's work. So you can see the paintings from a distance of only 2 meters with no time constraints. When you go into the Sistine Chapel, you're kind of go in as a group. You have only so much time, and you're walking around running into people almost because your head is tilted back.
Yeah.
So this is a great opportunity to see these amazing works. Tickets are $17.50 for adults. There are discounts for groups and kids, but check it out. This Raising Cane's River Center box office or Ticketmaster will have more information, but it is called Michelangelo, A Different View. So check that out. It'll be amazing in September.
Wow, that's one of the things that I definitely want to do. I think going to Rome is definitely number one on my bucket list.
Oh, yeah.
But my husband's been plenty of times, and he always talks about how this has really made an impact on him, and it's a must-see when we go.
It's true.
Hopefully sooner rather than later over going to Rome. But I'm excited about this one. The Eucharistic Miracles exhibit is happening over at St. John of the Cross in Lacombe, and it's going to be on Saturday, September 11th, and on Sunday, September 12th. It's 60 panels depicting and describing the incredible miracles of the Holy Eucharist over the centuries and throughout the world. It'll be displayed on these 2 days on Saturday from 3 to 7 p.m. and on Sunday from 7:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. So definitely make a trip to Lacombe. I think it'll be worth seeing this.
Absolutely. That's amazing. Do you know it's already time for lecture number 9 in the Eucharistic lecture series that's happening in New Orleans? It's amazing. So this is at Notre Dame Seminary. It's Wednesday, September 15th. And the title is The Eucharist at the Center of the Family, at the Family Life. And this is by Dr. Tom and his wife, Patty. So Dr. Tom and Patty Neal. There is a live stream. So so check that out. There's more information. And I know Gabby will put the link in the comment section. But we'll mention it again before September 15th because it will be fabulous. So thanks again for waking up with us. It is 7:15. We'll be back with our saint of the day.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 25th. Today we celebrate Saint Louis of France. Though crowned at 12, Louis did not rule until he turned 21. At 19, he married Marguerite of Provence, with whom he had 11 children. During Louis's reign, France built great Gothic cathedrals, universities, churches, libraries, hospitals, and orphanages. A man of the people, he united the lords, town folk, peasants, priests, and knights of France by the force of his personality and holiness. After the violence of previous reigns, he brought the nation peace and justice. Every day he invited 13 special guests from among the poor to dine with him. Strong-willed, strong-minded, and devoted to the humble folk of the Lord, he kept lists of the needy in every province of his dominion. As a young man, Louis sailed on a crusade to the Holy Land. His army was victorious at Damietta, but ultimately gave up the city and paid a ransom. Louis stayed in Syria for 4 years. He returned there in 1267 to lead another crusade against the Muslims. With his army decimated by disease, the king died on foreign soil at the age of 41. He was canonized in 1294. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:19 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Become a Coffee Club member with just $1 a day. For $30 a month, you'll get our official stainless steel dosage tumbler, a bumper sticker with our radio frequency, and a 2021 Coffee Club membership sticker. You can visit ccradio.live for details. There is a giant Coffee Club button on the website. If you are lost or can't find it, then message us on Facebook or send us an email through our website and we'll make sure we get that information to you. And follow us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Catholic Community Radio. And we are also on Twitter at LA Catholic Radio. So we have reliable Catholic news that you can trust and tune into when you are following people, whoever you want to follow on social media. Make sure you follow us as well so we can be that shining light on social media. I am excited, Alicia, to welcome Dina Dow. She is the Director of Office of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And today she joins us. Hey, Dina, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Alicia. Good morning, Gabby. How are y'all this morning?
We are great. We're happy to visit with you this morning.
Yes. What's happening in the diocese?
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's interesting. It's the big time right now. You know, the focus is the schools are, you know, back in session. Mm-hmm. And so that always kind of reminds me of, you know, the times when our children were younger and starting school. Of course, we still have kids starting school because we have kids in graduate school.
Right.
So, you know, it's just like, oh, it's your first last day of school, like ever, you know, because they graduated semester, my daughter and my son-in-law. So it's just a really exciting time. And it also, you know, kind of brought to mind the fact that our faith formation is lifelong. So even though, you know, we go to academic school for a certain amount of time, right, let's say 13 years if you go to kindergarten, maybe a little longer at preschool, and then some people continue to college and professional school, you know, but our faith formation is lifelong. And so the church and her beauty always has catechesis constantly moving. So the parishes have had faith formation even throughout the summer. So some have had, you know, vacation Bible school, some had it in person, some have had it just remotely. Bible studies are happening, prayer groups, youth groups getting together, you know, so faith formation continues throughout the seasons of our lives. And it's just so important for us to remember that although academia is super important, I mean, we need to know the basics, right, the cores and stuff that have a professional career. But the opportunity to have faith formation every day is a part of our lives is so, so important.
You know, Dina, I think you bring a great point to the table here. I think we all need to be patient with each other because every day we're learning something new about not only life in general, but our faith as well, especially on Catholic Community Radio. I learn something new about our faith every day just with our guests on Wake Up. And being patient with each other. Oh, you didn't know that? Or, oh, you didn't know that about this Mass? Or how this happens and stuff like that. Any pointers and tidbits as well? Because even when we have different guests on to talk about, either when it comes to the ordinary form, why we do what we do, what the Mass means, why we're Catholic, or even talking about, you know, the traditional Latin Mass for those who have never been and want to learn more, how can we go about being more loving and patient toward our fellow Catholics?
When it comes to understanding the faith, you know, my first semester in graduate school, I had a really great teacher, Dr. Chris Bagwell, give him a shout out. And we spent our first class about 2 hours on humility. You know, that notion of, you know, and not being human, but like humble and, you know, walk away, but humility, like really receiving what we've been given by the Lord and then in turn sharing that with other people without knowing where people are. So the blessing about Catholic radio in the mornings, I learn something new in the mornings. Sometimes I'm writing stuff down, you know, I'll take it to work with me, you know, and talk about it, you know, in the office or share it with other people. It's that opportunity that we always have a chance to learn. And even though we may have heard something before, like like today, we heard about St. Louis, King of France. Oh, yeah, we know about him. But what have we learned new about him today? Like, I learned new that he opened the castle up to people, you know, the poverty. People in poverty, like, would come inside. So different things like that, you know, to really reach out, mainly, number one, through the daily readings. Because we can always learn something new about the Lord. We can always learn something new about our lives We can always learn something new about growing in faith and virtue through the daily readings. The Lord gives that catechesis to us, so to speak, every day.
Yes.
And then we take that to heart and really find different resources, which are so many resources that we have available and that we know of,
right.
To go online and make sure it's you know, coming from a good source,
mm-hmm.
and that it's consistent in prayer and discernment and information. You know, so even basically reading the catechism, you know, a paragraph yes. a day will feed your heart and mind and to help grow into that that knowledge and wisdom of God. Because the more that we come to know God as best as we can, mm-hmm. the more that we will grow in our love of God and Jesus Christ, and then that will pour out into those other people in the community that the Lord places before us, beginning with our families. You know, you always say at the kitchen table.
Yes, mm-hmm. right. Do you find, Dina, that sometimes you can read a reading over and over again, but when sometimes you'll read it and it just smacks you, you know, just like, wow, and it's just where you are in your journey.
Yeah, especially today's readings, like, whoa, wait a minute. It's
exactly.
so challenging, right? Because then you sit with that and you say, oh, well, you know, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were, you know, they always talked out of both sides with their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But an opportunity of like, well, where have I been hypocrisy? Have I committed hypocrisy in some subtle ways? You know, not maybe necessarily like heresy, but like, have I said one thing and done another? You know, so different things like that, yeah, can really hit you in the face. But the awakening isn't coming from the Lord's, like, really slapping us. The awakening is coming from us because we know the how to love, and we're growing in our understanding. So when something really hits us, we're like, oh, wait. You know, so that's a temperament of our conscience, right? Like, we're really growing in our faith, and we're being purified, right? Some of those things are being taken away, you know, so that we can grow in our call to holiness and answer where God is leading us to and follow his will. So there are some good times where you even have aha moments, especially like reading the Psalms, you know, the beauty of the Psalms, you know, and kind of like hitting every part of human life through reading of the Psalms, which comes, a lot of people read the Liturgy of the Hours.
Mm-hmm.
So those are graced moments where, you know, when you feel a little bit convicted, we're like, okay, Lord, well, where are you calling me to this? You know, why am I feeling a little convicted today?
Yes, absolutely. You know, Dina, when I think about this as well, and Alicia makes a great point. When we hear a gospel when we were kids, we interpret it differently than when we do when we're adult, because maybe we've gone through something that has maybe hit us at that moment in time. We feel like the priest is talking to us during his homily. Also, to be patient toward each other. I know that when I lived in Baton Rouge and I was a parishioner in Our Lady of Mercy, Father Cleo would always say, if you are the perfect family, stand up so we can see exactly what you look like. And
something.
I would always wait around because I would always see as a kid who was the perfect family. They're dressed so nice. They're the perfect, or you know what I mean? And no one stood up.
You know, Gabby,
it was a great point.
I think it's even, you know, yes, when we hear things when we're young, we take it differently, but I really feel like, even last week, I may have taken a reading differently than I take it this week. It's kind of your reality where you are, you know, in that day, and you're not only in your prayer life, but just in your life, and how these readings can really just jump out and say, whoa, this is so pertinent to you right now. You need to stop and listen.
Right. Take that holy pause when you hear it, too. That's why the liturgy is so beautiful. And that's why the importance of, you know, especially during this time, you know, with the pandemic is surging, the opportunity to still participate in Mass, however that is most comfortable. So attending Mass, you know, watching Mass on the live streams, which are still available, and then taking the opportunity even before Mass to prepare, because the greatest thing about the celebration of the Mass is that we're receiving the Word of God in our ears and our minds and our hearts, and then we're receiving the body and blood of Jesus through our bodies, right? And so there's this transformation, this opportunity of grace that comes to us, and that's that fortification that the Lord gives us that cleaves us to Christ and also to the community of believers, and then the opportunity to go out and share the faith, you know, in evangelization and catechesis, and inviting people to come with us into the celebration of life in Christ. And that starts when our babies are little, and it continues forever. But there's always a day and always an opportunity during the day where we can learn one more new thing about faith.
Yes.
You know, so that little tidbit. I mean, I know a lot of people are professionals. We have to go get certifications every year, recertified. Well, you know, we offer those opportunities too, you know, kind of segueing into the diocese. You know, we have ministry and theology courses. We have a beautiful theology of the body course with Jennifer Prather. We have beautiful classes at Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University at Brand U there. And then our parishes offer these opportunities of small Christian communities and Bible studies and speakers and just opportunities to really grow in our love of faith and our love of one another and, our, of course, our love of God that really strengthens the path to eternity. Mm-hmm. Because people are like, well, I'll just wait, you know, until it gets closer. It's like, no, why wait? You know, let's grow now, you know, because tomorrow may be, you know, the moment that we've been waiting for, you know. So today is the present moment that we live in. Yes. And that's where God calls us to. Don't worry about yesterday. Look forward to the beauty of life in eternity with each other and with God.
Amen. Learn more so you can live it now, right? Embrace
exactly,
that.
Exactly.
Dina Dow, it is always such a pleasure to visit with you, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us. Dina Dow, Director of the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. It is 7:30. Thanks so much for joining us on Wake Up.
This is a special Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. The pro-life contention that a pre-born child's pain should make us understand how such children deserve protection from abortion is countered by abortion advocates with either sophisticated or convoluted arguments. And then there is simply the denial of another's suffering. Some argue that pain is made of two components, sensation and perception. They often argue, and pro-lifers would say they argue wrongly, but they argue that the sensation is there, but the perception of pain is not. Controlling who is a person permits arguments like the dying worm argument. It may have sensations of pain, but few people are out saving worms. Enter the Charlotte Lozier Institute, which, among other educational and research pursuits, is documenting the pain felt by unborn children. They say the evidence of the very early sensation of pain is well documented. While that alone should, by mercy, create protections for the unborn, the argument that the perceiving of pain happens before 20 weeks is an ironclad argument. The Lozier Institute brings the expertise of osteopathic Dr. Sheila Page. Osteopaths are experts at the perception of pain and its direct release. Dr. Page pegs the onset of pain perception at 7 weeks gestation, pointing out that all pain structures terminate low in the early developing brain. But pain offers a powerful witness to the humanity of the child from conception. And this is also why abortion advocates spend so much time seeking to discredit the existence of fetal pain. Pain and the existence of the human person go together and create a powerful argument, as Dr. Page concludes, that innocent human life must be protected. Denying the humanity of the preborn child is a terrible deception. This has been a special Life News Radio.
It is 7:35 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith along with Alicia Quibido. And I'm excited, Alicia, because we have surpassed 4,000 app downloads.
That's
it's so great.
Awesome. 4,000.
So thank you. Yes, if you're listening on our app, we're talking about you, or if you've downloaded our app. If you have not downloaded our app on your mobile device, it is absolutely free. Just go to the Apple App Store or Google Play and type in Catholic Community Radio. It has to be those three words if you want to get to the right Catholic radio app. The good news is there's so many apps out there that are Catholic, but we want to make sure you tune into Catholic Community Radio. So download our app for free. It can be on your iPad. I was going to say iPod, iPad, iPhone, and all of those wonderful devices that you can connect and listen on the go.
And, you know, there's that, not only can you listen to what we're playing on the radio dial, but there's that overflow music part of the app. Sometime in the afternoon, I just need that to keep the calm. I enjoy that.
Yes, definitely. You can listen on the go as well, so thanks so much. Download our app today. I'm so excited to welcome Jennifer Hubbard back on our morning show to talk about her book called Finding Sanctuary, How the Wild Work of Peace Restored the Heart of a Sandy Hook Mother. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And if you're watching us on our video stream on our Facebook page or our website, Alicia is holding up the book. Thanks, Alicia. Beautiful cover. Jennifer, it's so good to have you join us again. Tell our listeners a little bit about your book and what inspired you to write something so powerful.
Sure. My book is really a recount of how I found my footing, how I found my faith, and how I re-encountered God in a new and powerful way after losing my daughter, Catherine. She was one of the first graders that was killed in the Sandy Hook tragedy in 2012.
Oh, goodness.
So the book really is a recount of where I discovered God and in the most unexpected ways, and certainly not how I envisioned a really strong relationship forging with our Heavenly Father. And my hope in writing the book was that for anybody that was going through whatever their grief or tragedy might be, that they too may be spurred to see God in their midst. Because I think so many times when the horrible happens, we doubt our Father's love. And that's really a tragedy.
I hear so much grace in your voice right now. Obviously, there's been a lot of healing because it's so profound in your writings as well. For those who are listening, because a lot of tragedy has been going on in our world, especially with COVID and losing a lot of loved ones, when did you find that hope? And do you have some hope that you can give to those who are really trying to go through the grieving process?
Yes. I found hope when I stopped looking beyond the immediate moment and discovered that our Lord is in our midst right now and wants nothing more for us than to just focus on what's now, today, this morning, and the purpose that He has for this minute. What I found is that when I started looking forward to spring, Catherine would have been making her first communion, and that was a big deal in our house. I would panic, and I would gasp, and I couldn't handle it. And I received some beautiful wisdom of, you know, just focus on where God's got you right now. And what I discovered was that there's beauty and grace in packing a lunchbox. There's beauty and grace in being so sad that we couldn't celebrate Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween with, you know, Catherine would have been, she would have been six when, or seven when we were going through all of these sort of firsts. And in really just focusing on those moments, whether they were joyful or painful, I encountered a healing and discovered that God just wants us right where we are. And our job is not to work. Our job is to rest in His love and feel and offer Him the feelings that we're feeling, good, bad, or indifferent.
Right.
It's the relationship that He craves with us. He wants our hearts, not our actions.
Right, absolutely. There's so much strength, I think, in exactly what you just said. And also, you talk about in your book how you fulfill your daughter's dreams about opening up an animal shelter. Mm. Talk about that.
So it was divine, I believe. When we wrote the obituary, we asked that donations go in Catherine's memory to the Animal Center of Newtown. What we didn't realize was that the Animal Center of Newtown that we thought, the pound, the Animal Control Center, we left out the word control. And so the Animal Center was actually a rescue that was small for women. And they had a dream of creating an animal sanctuary. And so when we met them and talked about what that might look like, what that meant, we really felt like it was a place that honored Catherine's love of animals. She was a creature girl and couldn't get enough of them. So the sanctuary that we're building in her memory is a place that honors the bonds between humans and animals. We do a lot of stewardship programming. We do a lot of keeping animals in their homes with their caregivers. And we believe that if we can forge that bond and teach people how to care for the creatures in their midst, we're honoring Catherine's spirit and her love. For me personally, I believe that that seed of love for animals that was planted in Catherine's heart was really something that was planted by God, and that in the sanctuary we see his majesty and his might, and really are charged with caring for the creatures in our midst. So that's what we're doing.
Yes, Alicia and I are over here smiling. Because you can just, it's just such a happy thing, and you can just have such a happy soul. Jennifer, how long did it take you to write this book, and did you find any more knowledge and strength with writing something like this?
I did. I'm a big journaler, and I've found that going back and reading my journals, I can see and experience graces that I didn't realize I was getting at the moment. A lot of my entries, I look back and I go, oh my gosh. And the book, writing the book for me was that exact experience of really documenting, writing down how good God has been to me, and how he has answered every single question and concern. A lot of times, and I share with it in the book, like it wasn't happening fast enough. And I think that in writing the book, it forced me to compress what had been 7 years, and really see that, you know, not my timing, but answers given to prayers that I had uttered in God's timing. The book itself took me probably about 4 months to write. I was asked to write it in March, just when COVID had started, you know, clamping down, and it was finished in May of the same year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we had a lot of time at home, and you know that's what a time to write a book like this.
Yes. Well, and you know, I think that for me, it was just recounting God's love. I had lived it. It was a matter of really deciding what do I choose to share, because the moments and the miracles and the blessings were so great, amazing. Yeah, and I think if we all stop at some point. I do it every morning in prayer, but I really think that it's so important for us all to just stop and think about the ways that God has been good to us. Mm-hmm. It forces us to be grateful and not disappointed or disillusioned.
Absolutely. Definitely a life lesson right there that I think we can all use every day. Jennifer Hubbard with her book, Finding Sanctuary, How the Wild Work of Peace Restored the Heart of a Sandy Hook Mother. Mm-hmm. Jennifer, where can we purchase a copy of your book?
Sure. You can buy it at any local Catholic bookstore, of course. And there's always the the fail-safe Amazon.com and also at Ave Maria Press. So a local bookstore, Amazon, or Ave Maria.
Beautiful.
Wonderful. Jennifer, thanks so much for joining us. I hope to meet you one day. You're such a beautiful soul.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. It is 7:45 on Wake Up.
Good morning. Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Community Radio. You're listening to Wake Up. It is 7:48. Y'all, the weather's going to be more of the same that we've had this week, with a little bit more rain in the afternoon. So showers and thunderstorms is really our summer pattern, are likely mainly afternoon with increasing clouds, and our highs will be in the low to mid 90s today. So stay hydrated and maybe carry a little umbrella in case you get stuck in one of those. The great thing about those thunderstorms, Gabby, is that you know, you can just wait for like 3 minutes and they'll stop, you know, so you can just stand with everybody else at the grocery store exit and wait for the rain to stop. I'm looking forward to chatting with our next guest, Anthony Ryan. He's with Ignatius Press, and he's going to tell us about a new book, Thérèse of Lisieux, Living on Love. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Doing well. We were just out in the Midwest on an RV trip. We know about those storms that just come upon you and they last for 3 or 4 minutes. So,
yes.
Yeah, we experienced that a couple of weeks ago. It was great.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yes. It'll cool things off a little bit and add a little humidity to your day. Mm-hmm. I am so curious about this book. Before we jump really into the book, can you tell us about the author of the book?
Yeah, so the book, St. Therese of Lisieux, Living on Love, is written by a Carmelite priest, Father Didier Marie Gollet, who was the chaplain, or is the chaplain, of Lisieux, which is the town where St. Therese, lived as a Carmelite nun. And he is a Carmelite priest himself. He actually put together an exposition or a display on Therese of Lisieux, from which this book is taken. So it's a display that travels across France and all over Europe. Wow. And uses a lot of the images and information from this book to kind of tell the story of St. Therese of Lisieux. So I think he used that experience and all that research to put together this beautiful book.
That's amazing. You know, there's so many people who love Therese of Lisieux. She's so popular, and there are so many reasons why, but there are some details of her life that people haven't known about her, but yet they're drawn to her. So tell us how this book is different than other books about St. Therese.
That's a good point. Even at Ignatius Press, we've published quite a number of books on St. Therese, and there are many others out there. But this book here, it's a combination of a photo book, as you mentioned. The photos and the artwork in it are stunning. There's over 150 photographs and art in this book, but it's much more than just a photo book or a coffee table book. So it's kind of a combination of all the best things of a great book. It's got those images, but it also has this incredible detailed text about her family, about the culture she grew up in, what was going on in the world and the church during her times. So you have this incredibly detailed, insights into her life, these things about her, stories about her family and her own spirituality that you don't necessarily find in other books about Therese. I think part of that is because this priest who did it is an expert on her. He's a Carmelite himself. He's the chaplain right where she lived and died. So you have that, insight into her spirituality, which, is the spirituality for our times, Living on Love, which is the subtitle of this book, and her own spirituality called Spiritual Childhood. And yet we're talking about a woman who is a doctor of the church. So you have this a kind of fascinating combination of a woman who died when she was 24 years old, very young, unknown to the world, and now she's just the most popular saint of modern times and probably in some ways in the history of the church, one of the most popular for sure. Mm-hmm. So this book kind of captures all of that in a way that, a lot of people, as it says in the book, are interested in her and her life or spirituality, but, they don't know that much really about the depth of her spirituality. And why did St. John Paul II make her a doctor of the church?
Yes.
What is it about her that makes her so profound and yet someone that we can approach, and really imitate in our own daily lives?
Right. Wow. And she had such profound tragedy in her life, so much loss in her life. And I can't wait to get the book. I've done a lot of sleuthing online and read some, but I can't wait to get it because I think that her message is, it speaks to everyone. This Living on Love is the title of a poem that she wrote.
Yeah, she actually was a lot of people don't know, she wrote a lot of poems, and one of them is called Living on Love, from which the subtitle of the book is taken. And really, the core of her spirituality was love, love of God, love of Christ, passionate love of Christ, and love of neighbor, and living that out in the ordinary things of daily life, the little things. That's why her spirituality is called The Little Way.
Yes.
Because really, that's the story for most of us. Most of us can't do big things or great things. But every day, there's a lot of little things that we can do with great love. Mm-hmm. And that's what Therese of Lisieux did and what made her such a great saint in just 24 years of her life. And this book really fleshes that out. So, as I say, the greatest saint of modern times, one of the popes called her. In our experience, this is probably the greatest book that we've ever seen on Trials of Lisieux, because it captures all that in detail, and yet it has all these incredible, beautiful photos and artwork to go with it.
I think, you know, we have so many saints that we have icons of or drawings of. Gabby and I were talking earlier. It's so amazing to have saints really in our time, saints that we have actual photos of. And when you see a picture of Thérèse of Lisieux, you can see the peace and the joy. And I wonder if that's why people are drawn to her. You could just see, you want to be her friend, you know?
Yes. And, you know, she was my confirmation saint. I have absolutely no idea why. You know, she chose
you.
Me.
That's right.
And that's when I started to get to know her. So, and I absolutely love St. Thérèse of Lisieux. She is definitely one of my favorites, if not my favorite.
Yeah, you know, she wrote here, he quotes her, Father Goulet, she says, "I am your sister, I am your friend, I will always watch over you." So the whole point of this book is to draw us into a true relationship with St. Thérèse, who really wants to have a relationship with us. And as you say, Gabby, with the photos, I mean, her sister was a photographer, so, I mean, we just have these incredible images of her that makes her so appealing that we want to be her friend. We want to learn from her. How do we become a saint like Thérèse of Lisieux? And I think this book, with everything that it presents, really can help us to follow that path that Trez kind of laid out for us.
That's fabulous. Anthony Ryan is joining us. He's with Ignatius Press. We're talking about Thérèse of Lisieux, Living on Love. Anthony, let our listeners know where they can find a copy of this wonderful book.
Sure. Yeah, well, we always encourage people to first patronize their local Catholic bookstore or gift shop if you have one that's within driving distance. If you do not, then you can come right to our website, ignatius.com, or you can call our 800 number, toll-free 800 number, 800-651-1531, 800-651-1531, and those are some of the ways that you can pick up this beautiful book. It's a great book for Christmas, it's a great gift book, or it's just a great book for your own spiritual reading.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Anthony. We appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Wow. Gabby, our time has flown by. We have two books that we need to, when we get off, we have to go order. Let's close with Pope Francis's prayer to St. Joseph. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail, guardian of the Redeemer, spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. To you, God entrusted his only Son. In you, Mary placed her trust. With you, Christ became man. Blessed Joseph, to us too, show yourself a father and guide us in the path of life. Obtain for us grace, mercy, and courage, and defend us from every evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Joseph, pray for us and protect us.
Amen. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.